Good morning. Good morning. Got a couple announcements before we get started this morning. We'd like to welcome all our members and visitors, and we ask that each one of you fill out an attendance card, place it in front of you, and some of the young men will come by and pick them up later. Please continue to pray for all those who are sick, grieving, and shut in. Just found out Doug Watson is having some issues with fainting spells. The family asked for prayers from us at this time. And also their friend Joey Jackson is a friend of the Watsons, is having some health issues as well. We express our sympathy to the family of Helen Parker. Miss Helen passed away on Tuesday, January the 18th. A private graveside service was conducted for the family. We are continuing to have our baby girl diaper pounding for Connor Webster to go on through Sunday, January the 30th. Items may be placed in the basket located in the main foyer. There's no other announcements. We'll begin.
Good morning. Once again, it is good to see everybody out this morning. This morning, our theme while we're gathered together is worship. And so with that being the theme, we'll have some additional passages, maybe than normal. We really want to emphasize why we worship and who we worship. And I'd like to start out by reading a few passages. Psalm 96, verse 9. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Psalm 29, verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Psalm 66, verse 4, all the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praise of your name. And we have Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. If you would like, let's stand as we sing this morning.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love.
Oh, ye heavens of heaven, and ye
chapter 96, verse 6. O come, 95. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Slide, please. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, I think that's actually where I ended it. Let's sing. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Psalms chapter 119, verses 33 through 35. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. After this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Lord, take my life.
Shall we pray? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time thanking you for so many things, so many blessings that you have sent our way this week and this day. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for each person that chose to come here this morning, be a part of this worship service, either in person or online. Dear Lord, thank you for that desire to be a part of this worship service. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for each person that will stand before a class this morning and to preach your word, teach your word to all those, all different ages, dear Lord. I want you to pray for Brother Greg as he brings a message to us a little bit later. Dear Lord, thank you for each one of them. Thank you for this building that we have to meet in, dear Lord. I want to thank you for the many improvements that's been made to this building recently, the new lighting outside, the beautiful landscape, and other improvements that will be done in the future. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to have those things done. Dear Lord, at this time, I don't remember a time when there's been more sickness within our congregation here. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with each one of those, so many that are battling the virus and so many that have been exposed to the virus that are out. We have several that have surgeries and procedures scheduled for the future. We ask that you be with them and help those procedures to go well, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we're blessed to have several families within our congregation here that are expecting babies in the near future. We ask you to be with each one of them, the DeVitos, the Johnsons, the Websters, the Elrods, dear Lord. Those babies will be that are due in the near future, dear Lord. Be with them during, help them to be born well and healthy, dear Lord, and ready to be loved. Dear Lord, we're thankful for, to look forward to those events. Dear Lord, I want to pray for all of our young people here at Florence Boulevard, especially teenagers, dear Lord, and as they make decisions that may seem not very important, but could change their lives, dear Lord, help them to make the decision that would make you proud and to make those that love them proud also. Dear Lord, thank you for the Watsons, and I want to pray for them at this time for their decision to become Christians recently, dear Lord, and be with Doug as he battles some health issues, and be with their friend that also has health issues, and may the decisions they made recently, dear Lord, make a big difference in their future, and may they have lots of good things happen to them over the next few weeks and months. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing them our way. Dear Lord, thank you for all the people that are stay with us during the room in the inn here at Florence Boulevard. Dear Lord, thank you for them, and be with each one of them, dear Lord, and may something be said here and are done that will make them change, make some changes in their life. Dear Lord, we're so blessed in so many ways, dear Lord, and it's hard for us to remember all those things that you bless us with, dear Lord, but when we sit down and just think how blessed we are, it makes us see how great and wonderful that you are, and how much you love us and how much you do for us. Dear Lord, help us to never take things for granted that you have blessed us with, and help us to always give you the glory of all those things. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So we prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. Read a verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We'll sing How Deep the Father's Love.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father's earth.
As we prepare to partake of the communion, does everyone have one of the communion packets? If not, raise your hand. This communion that we partake of is a memorial that we as Christians have the privilege of participating in each Lord's Day. Worldly memorials are usually only held once a year. But God, in His wisdom, understood that it would be proper and beneficial for us as Christians to be reminded every week of the wonderful gift that we received at such a great cost to our Lord and Savior. I'll read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 29. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Before we participate in this memorial, that in Luke 22 and verse 19, Jesus Christ instructed, "This do in remembrance of me." It was his instructions. Paul said, "Let a man examine himself and judge himself on our spiritual condition and correct ourselves." We would avert God's judgment referred to in this verse 29. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father above, we are very thankful for the wisdom of helping remind us every Lord's Day of the tremendous sacrifice and cost that our Lord and Savior gave to us by his death, that it provides for us the redemption by the remission of our sins, for us to be able to hope of an eternity to spend with you. We are thankful that each Lord's Day we can assemble around this table and remember the huge cost freely gave for us. Help us to do so in the remembrance of that, but help us each day of our life as Christians to remember that it's through his sacrifice for us the shedding of his blood, the yielding of his body suspended upon a cross, and through his death, the price was paid for our sins. Help us partake of this bread that represents his body in a worthy manner. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Would you bow again, please? Our Father in heaven, as we continue our prayer to you, we're thankful that our Savior was truly and freely willing to pay the cost for our sins, that he shed that innocent blood of his upon that cross, knowing that for a Christian, the shedding of his blood was the price to be paid for our sins. That blood had always been associated with forgiveness of sin, even from the beginning of time. But realizing that through the shedding of his blood, the power of death could be overcome, that we would be able to have a hope of spending eternity in heaven with you. Help us as we partake of this, the fruit of the vine, that to us represents his precious blood, that we remember he freely went to the cross for us and do so in a worthy manner. This is our prayer in your son's name. Amen. That completes the Lord's communion. Usually, until the last period of time of this epidemic, we had trays passed around for the collection. At the end of the service, there would be ushers at the door, or there's a box, locked box beside the sound room that you could leave your offering in. But at this time, we will have a prayer for that, if you would bow with me again. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your many blessings that you bestow upon us. You have blessed us so richly, especially in this country. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, that we look into our hearts, realize how richly you have blessed us, and return a portion of that to be used in the furtherance of your kingdom, to help take care of the work in the ministries of your kingdom here. Heavenly Father, we realize that it does take funds in order to spread the borders of your kingdom. Help us each one that we would look into our hearts and freely give cheerfully of the bounties and blessings that you have bestowed upon us. This is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Before Brother Greg brings us the message, we'll sing Light the Fire and go into I Stand in Awe. If you'd like, let's stand as we sing these songs. We ask you to remain standing as we have a reading from God's Word immediately following.
I stand to praise you, but I fall.
I stand in awe.
Our reading this morning will come from 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 through 29. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of all holiness. You may be seated.
So good morning, and welcome to Florence Boulevard. Glad you're here. Appreciate all the men who led in worship. Appreciate Brother David and his communion thoughts. And, of course, Brother Mark always does an incredible job. And I appreciate Ronnie's prayer, but I want to make it perfectly clear. The Elrods are not having a baby, are we? No, we're not having a baby, okay? So, and if we are, you're the first to know, which is really strange, okay? Actually, what it means is my daughter is having a baby, Addison, and her husband, Rhett, which means I'm going to be a grandpa. So I'm pretty pumped about that, as maybe you can tell. One of the things I'm really looking forward, you know, to that aspect is I'm going to get to do, you know, the same things that I do with my children. I'm going to get to do them all over again with my grandchildren without the responsibility, and that sounds really good. So, and, you know, one of the things we did with our children when they were young is Gail and I read to our kids quite a bit back when they were growing up. Maybe not as much with Jack because we were tired, but we had every Dr. Seuss book ever written and read from them every night just about when they were real little. And we did it for a lot of reasons. You know, we did it to spend time with them. We did it, you know, to teach them to read. We did it to stimulate creativity as only a Dr. Seuss book can do. And because, you know, we found out if you read long enough, they will finally go to sleep. But I'm not going to lie to you. It really affected me, and I'm almost positive that it's finally behind me now. But for a long time, I couldn't speak without rhyming everything. But I'm sure that's over. So I'll tell you right now, for a while, I did not know what to do. It became a big problem. I know that that's true. And while I'm sure you believe I could do a lot more, for the sake of the sermon, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, we got a long reading this morning, so don't fall asleep because it's critical. It's important to you. It's important to us. It's important to this congregation. John chapter 4, as we talk about a critical aspect of worship. And you know what? I'm going to try to shorten this up a little bit. I was going to read the whole chapter. I'll tell you what, let's jump in at verse 6 of John chapter 4. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was almost about the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. When then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, I want you to know right now, I love the book of John. And one reason that I love the book of John is because he develops his character so much more fully and in so much more detail than the other gospel writers. I mean, like I said, the stories are fewer, but you know what? The characters are deeper and the stories are more detailed. And what that means, you know, for us here this morning as we read from this passage, you know, is that there's a lot of places, because of the deepness and the detail, there's a lot of places, you know, that I like to call entry points. Places where you can get on board and ride to some sort of self-resolve. Places with different appeals so that, you know, we can see ourselves more clearly. For instance, this story unfolds in a place, a real place called Jacob's Well. Now, the city well back in those days was one of the, if not maybe the most important place, you know, in the city or in the town. And somebody says, well, what about the synagogue? Not everybody could go to the synagogue. Not everybody wanted to go to the synagogue. But everybody had to drink. Everybody had to have some water. Everybody went to the well. Travelers, citizens, officials, servants, children came on a daily basis. And it was more than just a watering place. It was a place where news was passed along. You know, conversations were had there. Stories were told there. It was a place where history and tradition were preserved. It was almost like a convenience store in our culture, in the fact that it was always open and it was often busy. It was a real place, and it was filled with real people. And if you're a visitor here this morning, maybe that's your entry point, you know, because you're new here. And Jesus was new there. He was a visitor. He was a stranger. He didn't have any kind of personal connection with anyone in the area. And Jesus went to the well, by the way, because he had a need. He was thirsty. Maybe that's your entry point in today's sermon. Maybe you have a need. Maybe you're thirsty. Maybe you're thirsty for something that's been missing in your life. Maybe you're thirsty for just a little bit of righteousness. Maybe you're thirsty for just a little bit of forgiveness, for relationship. You need a place to belong, as we like to say here at Florence Boulevard. There's something in your soul that needs some satisfaction, and desperately so. Or maybe you're struggling with a broken relationship, like the woman who came to the well. She knew all too well about disastrous relationships and tough marriages and what it felt like to be divorced and to be stung by gossip and to live with a tarnished reputation. Does that get anybody here at all? Or maybe you suffered, you know, abuse or ridicule. And maybe there's somebody, you know, listening online, you know, that suffered racism. And I mean real racism, by the way. I mean, you know, I hate your guts because of the color of your skin racism. And not the politicized make as much money as I can by exploiting people's fears, you know, brand of racism that we primarily see in our country today. Or maybe you've suffered sexism, just like this woman here at the well. And I mean real sexism. I mean, I only look at you as a source of gratification and not as somebody's little girl, wife, or mother sexism. Maybe you've suffered it. Maybe you're guilty of it. This story here in John chapter 4 holds both kinds of people. Because Jews didn't associate with Gentiles, and women back in those days, they weren't even considered citizens as much as they were just property. So it was a real place. It had real people, and those real people had real problems. And strangely enough, in the heart of that stark reality, in the middle of that mess, surrounded by untold amounts of ungodliness and worldliness, what did Jesus talk about? He talks about worship. Worship. What a strange thing. What a strange thing. I want you to know, and if you don't know, then you haven't been paying attention. Our world, you should know, is literally falling apart. And our country is maybe leading the way. Our country is closer to communism than it's ever been in our lives. Believe me when I tell you that. Leaders inside and outside this country literally hate and despise the people that they lead. More babies are being murdered in the wombs of their mother than ever before in this world. More kids are being kidnapped and sold into slavery more than ever before in this world. Crime is out of control in major cities. Criminals are being released just to sow chaos and discord. Drug addicts in California are literally being paid to be drug addicts. Divorce has run amok. Freedoms are being trampled. Liberty is being stolen. And John has the nerve to say that maybe those problems would be easier fixed if we quit focusing on ourselves and start focusing on what and who really truly matters. And that is the worship of God. And my microphone is off, by the way. Let me tell you something that you need to get in your heart and your heads this morning. All right. Bad things happen when you lose focus. Let me repeat that. Bad things happen when you lose focus. I remember years ago driving a group from church to, I think it was the nursing home. It's been a long time ago. For some sort of activity. And we had one family that had about 5 or 6 kids, if memory serves. And they promised not to bring all of them, but they did. And we met at church, and we piled into the church bus, and we drove to the nursing home several miles away. And, you know, as their kids exited the bus, Mom did what she always did. You know, she started to count. Maybe you do the same thing. You know, 1 kid, 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, 5 kids, 6 kids. Where's the 6th kid? Well, I thought you had her, he said. Well, I thought you had her, you know, she said. And she, turns out she was left all alone in a minivan in a dark, unattended parking lot on a very cold December night 4 or 5 miles away. I tossed Dad the keys. He started it, drove like a rocket, set a land speed record for overly large religious vehicles, and got to the church. And you know what? She was fine. She was. She was cold. She was scared, you know, but she was fine. Some moments of inattention we can laugh about. And then there are others that we can't. Fairview Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Georgia. Perfectly responsible, loving parents lose track of their 3-year-old boy in the church building. In a panic, if you've ever been in that situation, you feel it right down to your core. Where's my child? Where's my child? Lose track of their boy. And they search and they search and they finally find him floating face up, drowned in the baptistry. The boy, the father when he was interviewed, said this. He simply said, "I looked down to where my son was supposed to be, and he wasn't there." But it happens, doesn't it? And it's not that they didn't care, and it's not that they didn't love him, and it's not that they didn't want to protect him. It's just that they forgot for a moment, and that's all it takes. And something precious is lost forever because of a lack of focus. And just as incredible, if not more so, is how you and I can, in many moments of worship, forget about who we are here for and lose something even more precious. And that's a relationship with our Father in heaven. But it happens all the time. And it happens in all kinds of churches. You see, some churches have worship services that are more like an incredible, amazing concert. The music is powerful. The leaders are professional. Every second is on cue. The ladies wear sequined dresses. The men in their finest suits. The sets are impressively presented down to the very last detail. And it's all done just as it was rehearsed over and over again. And everything is checked. And rechecked, and rechecked, and rechecked. Every guitar, every bass, every drum, every instrument, every mic, every spotlight. The only thing they forget to check is whether the service is for the glory of God or for the entertainment of those who show up to donate the money. They forget the who of worship. Some churches have worship services that are like a checklist. It is all done in an exacting order. They stand when they're supposed to stand. They sit when they're supposed to sit. They recite when they're supposed to recite. They bow when they're supposed to bow. They say word for word every word they're supposed to say. And they kneel when they are supposed to kneel. The service is predictable. It is reliable. It is unwavering. They hold on to repetition. And yet they always forget to hold on to God. And oddly enough, it was God that they came to worship. They forget the who of worship. Some churches have worship services that are more like lessons in correctness. They are without error. They are right. They are flawless. They are sound. And by sound, I do not mean a mechanical vibration transmitted through the air at the speed of 1,087 feet per second, producing an auditory effect on the ears. And yes, I looked that up. I mean they are sound according to the pattern of the New Testament record. And the most important thing to them is not that God be praised, but rather that praise be precise. And while they have worshipped in the correct form, they have worshipped in truth, but they have not worshipped in spirit. And if we're not careful, our worship can become more about how we do it than about who God is. Sometimes we forget the who of worship. And some churches have worship services that are built nothing except on nothing but emotion. They're not interested in the truth as they are their own fuzzy feelings. And they are designed to do one thing and one thing only, evoke a human emotion. And there'll be tears and there'll be laughters and joy and thrills and chills. And it will all be so moving. And when it's done, they'll pat their hearts and they'll talk about how wonderful it was and how awesome it was and how amazing it was. And they'll say things like, oh, well, you know what? That really did something for me. And, oh, I got a lot out of that. But whether it did anything for God or not, or whether he got anything out of it, no one can say. And quite frankly, no one even really truly cares. Because they forget the who of worship. Because it happens, you know. Perfectly responsible Christians forget about God just for a moment. And something precious is lost forever. Now hear me clearly this morning. There's nothing wrong with a powerful, sound, in order, spirited worship service. But if we are not careful, we can get so focused on having that powerful, sound, orderly, spirited worship service, we can forget about who we came to worship. And we start to count, you know, everybody present, you know, in the worship service, just like Mom did. And we realize we're one short. And somebody says, well, wait, where's God? Oh, I left him out in the car, you know, when I was arguing with my wife about nothing in the parking lot. Oh, I left him in the lobby when I started to think about all the other things, you know, that I'm responsible, you know, here. When I come to church here, oh, I don't know where he is. I never am around him. I have no clue where he's at, somebody says. So it's obvious I don't have him here. And we kind of become like that little boy who prayed on Sunday evening before he went to bed. He said, dear God, thank you for church today. It was wonderful. I wish you could have been there. Well, you know what? True worshipers, they worship God. Now, that doesn't mean that the how is unimportant. I'll assure you that it is important. It's not unimportant. And Jesus tells us the how right here in John chapter 4, doesn't he? He says, in spirit and in truth. He told the Jewish Pharisees that they honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They lack the spirit. He told the Samaritan woman that she worshiped what she doesn't even know. And she, and by extension they, those Gentiles, they lack the truth. But get it correct in your mind and your heart right now, all right? We must worship in spirit and truth. We must worship with our emotions, with our hearts, with our feelings. We must worship in the exact way that God says to worship. But I left out the most important word there, didn't I? Did you catch it? Because while we must worship in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4 and verse 24 says we must worship Him. Him. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the object of worship. He is the most important element. But sometimes, I got to be honest with you, I think sometimes that we confuse Him with us. My goodness, we live in the most narcissistic time in the history of the world, I think. It ain't about us. It's not. It isn't how powerful the music is, or how on key that it's sung, or what speed it's sung at, or the song that you want. It isn't how orderly the worship service is. It isn't how correctly we perform. It isn't how emotional we are. All of those things are about us. They take the trajectory of worship and they turn it upside down and aim it straight back at us. Because they're about us. But true worship is about God. It's what He wants. It's what He expects. It's what He wants from us. It's what He wants in us. It's okay to enjoy powerful praise. Unless we're more taken back by the power of the praise than the power of the God that we're praising. Being orderly in worship, you know, is a good thing until it becomes more important to us than the God it orders us to worship. A desire for doctrinal soundness in worship is biblical and it is right. But, you know, when we leave, if we find ourselves congratulating ourselves, you know, and celebrating our correctness and our rightness and thinking more about what we just did instead of what God has done, then that rightness very, very quickly becomes wrongness. To be emotionally moved is a great thing. And oftentimes, if not all times, I think a very necessary thing. Because you open up the pages of both the Old and the New Testament, you'll find worshipers who wept and leapt and laughed and lamented and shouted. And I'll just tell you right now and confess right now, I wish we were more expressive. I do. I really do. Try to not get chills when Mark Van Horn gets up here and leads Lord Reign in Me. That's impossible to do for me. I wish we were more expressive. But when we're more concerned with what worship does for us than what worship does for God, then we miss the boat entirely. And it becomes about us again. And we become shoppers of the best services that we can find based on how it makes us feel. And sends us always looking forevermore for the next best show in town. And you know the bad thing about that is? There's always the next best show in town. Always. And churches who fall prey to that, they learn it the hard way. There's always a better show in town. And you know what really truly is? The really scary thing about all this. And that if it's so easy to focus on ourselves and forget about God when we come to worship Him on Sunday morning, then how's it going to go for us on Friday night when we're out on the town? I mean, if I can come in here and surrounded by children of God and sing how great Thou art, O Lord, and feel let down because the service didn't meet my needs, and it wasn't done how I want it. If I can forget about God in here, man, during that week, you know, when I'm at that godless place I call work or that godless school I attend or the godless home that I live in, how easy is it going to be to forget Him then? Oh, we don't stand a chance. And I'm afraid, I know I'm guilty of it. We're not taking this serious enough. You are. Some others are, but I haven't. Maybe some of you haven't either. And then we wonder why we don't grow. And then we don't wonder why we don't attract people. And then we wonder why we have issues in our community. And we wonder why we have issues in our country. And we wonder why we have issues in our world. And it's because we haven't focused enough on God starting right here. But it happens, doesn't it? Perfectly responsible Christians forget why or rather who we are here for. And it's not that we don't care, and it's not that we don't love Him, and it's not that we don't need Him. It's just that we forget. Just for a moment. And that's all it takes. You go out there, you live your life, you start to focus on some dream, some goal, some quest that you think is good or right or profitable or noble or whatever. And then we look at the part of our lives where God is supposed to be, and he's not there. And we have the audacity to wonder why. And then our most precious possession is lost from our life. I guess really, truly, there's only one point to the message this morning. And I'll say it as we conclude, and hopefully it will embed itself in your heart. This, what we do in here, is a lot more important than we sometimes think. It's important. It is critical. It is holy. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. Please let us not forget that. True worship is who worship, is God worship. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning, and you are, and you have a need, and that need should be really focused on one thing. Hey, we want you to have a wonderful, healthy family. We do. But it's not the thing. We want you to make good grades in school. We do, but it's not the thing. We want you to be a success in life, make money, all those things. Have a great family, great children. We do, but it ain't the thing. The thing is still about God, and it's still about your relationship with him. And the question that I asked for you this morning, how's that going for you? If you've never named the name, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been washed in his blood, if you've fallen away from the one who matters, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to get right with him. Please come while we stand and sing.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. We need that. We need that. We do want to encourage you to stay with us. We have Bible classes. We get to study God's Word immediately after we dismiss from this assembly. If you're unsure where to go, ask somebody next to you. We have ushers in the back that you can ask. Stay with us for Bible classes. We do, of course, want to invite everybody to be back this evening as we have another opportunity to worship at 5 p.m. At this time, we'll close with the verse of a song. Young men, if you would go ahead and see if there are any cards that need to be picked up, go ahead and see that. And at this time, we'll close with Lord, Take Control.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give. Thank you.
God, our Father, we come to you thanking you for this opportunity to come before you. And it's our prayer that what has been come from our heart today is pleasing to you, that you have been worshiped, that you have been honored, and that your name has been glorified. Thank you for the words that Greg shared with us, those words being your words, that we are to worship you. And God, that is our desire. We go astray at times. Forgive us of that, please. Help us to be more like your Son. Help us to engage in your words and apply them to our life. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.